Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Monday evening?
James, I am fantastic. I am ready to talk Steelers football. I'm ready to talk all the things that we have to talk about. We are going to start today at the end, towards the end of the show, but a segment. We're going to start doing the whole positional breakdown. We do this almost every year. We're going to start today with the quarterbacks. So we're going to go over the quarterback depth chart room. I shouldn't even say depth chart room because there's no depth chart yet. But we're going to go over the quarterbacks in the room, all four of them, and say what we think about them, say what we feel, and kind of discuss the competition that's actively there right now, which is actually really exciting. So keep an eye on that. Next week will be the skill positions on offense, not including tight end. So wide receiver and halfbacks will be next week. But before we get to that, James, how are you?
Good, man. Looking a little more tan than usual today. Why, you might ask? Because Saturday I went and hung out with my sister and brother-in-law, and we processed chickens.
There you go.
James, that's right, from beginning to end.
Just so you know, I am still Tanner.
Oh, I like it. That's all right. I'm not really tan. I'm just kind of burnt red on the top of my head.
Yeah, you are. You processed chickens and you burnt like an egg.
Yeah, I did. And I'm going to eat one of those chickens tonight.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do some beer can chicken, buddy.
Sick invite, whatever. Anyways.
You don't live that far away.
I know. I got stuff to do. I just bought chicken today when I went to Walmart after work. Anyways, real quick, we're going to go over last month's numbers as we always do with you guys just to share the top downloaded countries and the top downloaded states in the United States. So obviously top downloaded countries, United States coming in at number one, Spain at number two, and actually tied number two with the United Kingdom. So very interesting there. We'll see what happens there. We're only going over the top three right there. And then the top states, top five states, because there was no tie in any position. So actually there was. There was a tie for second. I lied. First place, obviously, the Pennsylvania. Second
That's
place.
That's the first time, though, in like 3 months.
It was the first time. We needed that. Tied for second place was both New Jersey and Ohio. So thank you, New Jersey and Ohio. One of you guys better win next week. Compete. Figure it out. Share the podcast with your friends, whatever you got to do. And fourth place, technically, was Illinois. And then last but not least, there was more states, but obviously last but not least, in the fifth position was California.
Nice.
California love. Okay, anyways.
that was season one.
That was season one. You're not wrong. There was a lot of California love. So going along with this numbers, we're talking numbers right now. We do want to thank you all again consistently for the growth we've seen on Facebook. Over 900 Facebook likes right now, over 900 people in our Facebook family. We want to get that to 1,000. That's already bigger than I thought James and I ever expected this to be. Yeah. And we're excited for it to grow. We're excited to see where this can go. Ideally, I think James and I would both love to quit our job and do this full time.
Yes,
not quite 100%. Not quite close to that right now, but we'll still drive trucks for a living. It's okay. Don't worry. Don't mind us. So we can't thank you guys enough for the Facebook likes and everything. Things are going to be moving in a progressing manner, hopefully sometime soon. James and I are working on a lot of different things right now to get this thing. I don't want to even say off the ground because we're off the ground. I just don't know what the next step is.
Yeah. Next steps and beyond, and we're gonna see
to infinity.
See where we can take it
and beyond. Yeah. Okay,
there's no limit to what we can do. I think personally,
especially when the dogs are barking in the background, no limits.
Yeah, I gotta work on soundproofing the recording studio.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So let's talk Steelers football now. Let's talk Steelers football. Let's not make them wait too much. It's been almost 5 minutes.
Big news as far as the defensive line in two ways. First, we heard from Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward stating that he would like to play until he's 38. He's only 33 right now, so he says he's got 5 more good years in him, he believes.
That's phenomenal.
I don't see any reason to doubt him on that because he's got 5 Pro Bowls and 4 All-Pros, 3 of those 4 being first-team All-Pros. I think it's like the last 5 years in a row. It's pretty incredible what he's going on as far as the tear he's on right now. And the quality of player, and I love how he's a lead-by-example guy. He's really taking the young guys under his wing.
Yep.
So if we get 5 more years out of Cam, that's tremendous because I truly believe personally if he plays 5 more years, he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame for sure. Right now, he's already in that borderline category with five Pro Bowls and four All Pros. That's enough for some people to get in.
Yep.
It's a better resume than what Hines Ward has, and Hines has been eligible to go in for a while now. I think that he's definitely kind of finalizing his resume, but it's going to be exciting to see what he's got left in the tank here these next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to see him continue to climb that all-time Steelers sack leaderboard. So get excited for that. Him and TJ going at it. I think TJ's going to have a step on him consistently, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens for sure. In sad news, and unfortunate, whatever you want to call it, Stephon Tuitt did officially retire from the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers on June 1st, and it actually wound up saving Pittsburgh $9 million in cap space. But again, before we talk even cap, it's very sad because this was all, you know, there was the claim of an injury, this and that. And so with that being said, the fact that Stephon Tuitt's retiring, it's very sad because we, James and I both agree, it's probably the majority reason because of the death of his brother and not being able to bounce back from that mentally or emotionally. And I don't want to say anything negative about that. I don't mean anything negative when I say mentally. But it's just very sad for him, and he's trying to process that and go through life, and having that NFL schedule on top of that was just a lot. So I don't blame him for retiring at all.
Yeah, and what he said in his statement basically was with the tragedy of losing his brother, that was really devastating. And then also recently in the last month, he finished his degree at Notre Dame and said that he feels called to do something else, which kind of leads me to believe that maybe he might be looking at religion a little bit there, which isn't a bad thing in any, by any means. So we wish all the best to Stephon Tuitt in whatever his next category and next chapter of life may be. So very much so exciting to see what that might end up being.
Yeah, now bouncing back to the cap room, this has a large effect on Pittsburgh's potential for signing certain players to extensions, this and that. James specifically mentioned before the show, there's almost no reason why we shouldn't be able to extend Minkah Fitzpatrick at this point. Minkah Fitzpatrick coming off some of the, I don't want to say a best year or anything, but he's put on a very strong performance year after year, starting in Miami to now with Pittsburgh. And if I remember correctly, he led the team in tackles last year. That's impressive. I believe that was correct, but I'm not sure. Right? He led the team in tackles? Yeah.
He did, yeah, which you don't ever want your safety leading the team in tackles. No. It's a bad sign when that happens. But, yeah, Minkah did lead the team in tackles. But I'm with you on that. The only positive of Tuitt's retirement is knowing that there's that much more cap space for the Minkah Fitzpatrick extension. And I'm excited personally to see what happens as far as the young defensive lineman. You know, we anticipate Chris Wormley to step into a larger role. Both Marvin Leal and Isaiah Loudermilk are really going to have an opportunity to show what they're made of, and they're going to get a lot more playing time now. Especially, I would expect the Marvin Leal to get some serious reps in like third down situations.
Oh, absolutely.
He seems to be the pass rushing specialist out of the three of them. I think all three are going to get an increased amount of snaps, Wormley getting the most significant of the three. But, you know, Loudermilk really showed some ability stopping the run, and the other two seem to be able to push the pocket a little bit. So let's see what we can get out of these guys. Best man wins, and best man gets to go opposite Cam Hayward, you know?
Absolutely. Speaking of the defense and, you know, talk about pass rushers and this and that, Steelers will tried out three new offensive linemen in the past week. None of those offensive linemen were signed. They went out and signed Tuzar Skipper, who, if you remember that name, it's because we've talked about it on the podcast. And, of course, he's played with Pittsburgh in the past, had arguably one of the best preseasons out of an outside linebacker that Pittsburgh's ever seen. What was it, 5 sacks?
Yeah, it was like 5 or 6 sacks, and it's outside linebackers that they brought in for the
what I say?
He's an offensive lineman, which is fine.
Outside linebackers. I don't know what I'm saying. But
That's the ironic part of the whole thing. That's the fun thing, is that they brought in guys at his position and said, nope, Tuzar is better. We're going to bring in Tuzar.
Yep.
So real opportunity here. I mean, like Cody said, that was one of the best preseasons we've ever seen from an outside linebacker. Really dominated against backups. And then he got poached away before we had an opportunity. There was an injury week one. He made the initial roster. They tried to sneak him down to the practice squad, and that's when the Giants stole him away. And it really kind of ruined his opportunity. Then his second year in the league was the year that there was no preseason.
Yep.
So the Steelers had him on the team, but he didn't get to play in the preseason because there was no preseason. So this will be his third opportunity with Pittsburgh, and a really good one. He's going to have a full opportunity. He could easily end up the number three outside linebacker.
Oh, easily. Easily.
I think pushing Derek Tuzka and Gerard Avery, that's an easy thing. I don't think either one of them is a sure thing as the number three.
No, and I think Skipper would be the youngest of the three of those, or close to it, probably.
Yeah, he might be.
Very close. Sticking with the linebackers, not linemen, to clarify, Merrill Hodge, Steelers legend, did talk about middle linebackers on a radio show recently and basically said who he likes and who he doesn't like at the Pittsburgh Steelers middle linebacker room. James, I'll let you describe that a little bit better than I want to.
It's a bad day to be Devin Bush. Unfortunately, you would think that Devin Bush beat Merrill Hodge's dog or something, which is not the case. Just Merrill Hodge does not believe in Devin Bush. He doesn't think he's a good processor. He doesn't think he plays fast. He doesn't think he diagnoses plays well. He just thinks that, as he said, that Pittsburgh should cut bait and move on from Devin Bush, which is a rough thing to hear about a guy you traded up for in the first round. On the flip side, he had
such a good rookie year.
He was amazing his rookie year. He really was.
Oh, I think that's the part that is the kicker in that situation.
Yeah, and I'm not giving up on Devin Bush like a lot of people are. I think that there's still a real opportunity this year with better coaching at that position now. Last year, his position coach wasn't there half the year because his wife passed away. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, who was there to teach Devin Bush in the room? Who was the senior guy? I mean, there wasn't one. Vince
Joe
Williams
Schobert.
Was gone. Yeah, Joe Schobert came in, but that was when the season was already rolling, and it just didn't go well. So I don't really blame Devin Bush as he was coming back from an injury and trying to figure it out and didn't really have anyone to lean on. And the defensive line was just absolute Swiss cheese at times, just holes everywhere. So I think this is a real opportunity for Devin this year to prove the doubters wrong. I'd make himself a bunch of money, but on the flip side of Merrill's opinion with Devin Bush, he has an extremely high opinion of Robert Spillane and was really impressed with what he's seen so far from Mark Robinson, both on tape and in camp. That's the rookie middle linebacker from Southern Miss.
Yes.
Ole Miss.
One of the two.
Ole Miss, yeah.
So that's
Ole Miss like Matt Corral.
Yeah, that's impressive to have, you know, already be talking very highly of a rookie, especially one that wasn't like a first or second round pick. So that's that's important to see. So it's not that I take his word and I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be crazy good now or anything like that. But when a legend notices something like Merrill Hodge, when somebody who played the game and understands the game and says something like that, it makes me excited to see what they see or try to see that player the way they see him. So I'm excited to see him in preseason. I'm excited to see what he brings at the table and what he can potentially do. So I don't know. I'm excited. I miss preseason. That's weird to say.
Yeah.
Growing up, I didn't like preseason, and now I can't wait to watch it.
I love preseason, man.
I hate it.
Guys
growing
like
up.
That, you know, knowing that Mark Robinson's probably going to get a ton of snaps is an exciting thing to me. I want to see what this guy can do. Let's put him next to Spillane. Let's put him next to Buddy Johnson. Let's see what these guys can do. Because you know that they're not going to play much in the regular season, most likely, or best case scenario, they don't play much in their regular season because that means everyone else
is
in
hurt.
Front of them is playing well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and is healthy, right? Not hurt. It's a good opportunity for them. You know, let's see what these guys are made of. And I'm excited. I always love seeing the young dudes play in the preseason, that's for sure. On other news, the second to last rookie signing has happened. Woo! Wide receiver.
Number 19.
Calvin Austin III.
Number 19.
That's right. So everybody except for Kenny Pickett has signed their rookie deal. No surprise there. Usually there's the first round guys are always the last ones to sign.
Yep.
That's because they need people above and below them in the pecking order to sign so they can figure out how much their bonuses are going to be and all that stuff. So no surprise there. Mandatory minicamp, I believe, started today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see a lot more going on this week. We're going to hear a lot more on what's going on in camp, who's impressing, is anyone climbing up and down the depth chart. I'm hearing good things about Chris Steele, the undrafted rookie out of USC. So that could be something to look out, especially since the corner, Romeo, we have the defined guys at the top and then a whole bunch of question marks behind it.
Yep.
With guys like Justin Lane, who haven't developed like we would hope to, James Pierre, who had great preseason practices and then goes to the games and really doesn't show much. Yep. And
Arthur Mallett.
We need somebody to be excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for that. Very excited for that. Secondary is going to be a weird thing this year for sure.
No doubt, man.
We'll get to that way here in a few weeks when we talk about the secondary. But speaking of talking about positions, it's time to talk about the quarterback room. Who do we want to talk about first? Do we want to go down the order of how long they've been on the team?
So, I want to go in the order of how they're practicing and what the depth chart basically is right now. So Mitch, Mason, Kenny, Chris.
Okay. Okay.
I think this is going to change as the preseason goes along.
Yeah.
But right now, if it stays the same, that's all it is right now. And we only know this from people reporting about it, of course. But quarterback number one right now, the very first day of free agency, Pittsburgh made a priority to go get Mitchell Trubisky, bring him into the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, gave him a 2-year deal with all kinds of options on it where he could make a lot more money than the base salary based off of playing time, wins, touchdowns, even Pro Bowl appearances.
Yep.
That sort of thing is all built into that contract. Mitchell's a very, very athletic guy, has over 1,000 rushing yards already in his young career. He's 6'2", 220, well-built dude. Cody, looks like you have some more stuff you'd like to talk to about him on maybe his history, his some other stats going on there with him.
Yeah, the biggest things for me is looking at his progression. So, like, his rookie year playing with Chicago, he wound up playing in 12 games and had a completion percentage of 59.4. You know, the very next year, he jumps up to a 66.6% completion rating and puts 1,000 more yards up. And the first year, he was 7-7 for touchdown to interception ratio. The very next year, he was 24-12. It went from 1-1 to 2-1. Very, very quickly.
That was the Pro Bowl year, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that was phenomenal. The following year, he only threw 17 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. But again, he didn't have much of a good coaching staff in Chicago. I think that's very clear. I don't think I sound rude saying that. Tell me what targets he had to throw to. He didn't have any. I don't know when Cole Kmet came into the league, but if it was 2019 or 2020, that was finally when he got a good tight end over the middle. So again, he hasn't blown up the stat line by any means yet, but the progression, even from year one to year two, when I look at that 7-7, 24-12, that's a massive jump. And the completion rating, and like even he dropped down a little bit his third year, and then his last year at Chicago, he jumped up to a 67% completion rating. Again, only playing in 10 games that year. Mitchell Trubisky hasn't had his chance to shine yet, and I don't think people understand that. I think people blow him off and say, Mitchell Trubisky from Chicago couldn't get them to the playoffs, this and that, blah, blah, blah. How many times did their field goal kicker ruin their chances at, you know, a playoff berth or anything like that? Again, I'm excited to see Mitchell play because two reasons. One, I think Mitchell can actually play ball. I think Mitchell Trubisky is a good quarterback and better than Mason Rudolph. I think that's hands down. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to diss on Mason. I just think Mitchell's a better quarterback. Two, I don't want Kenny Pickett starting right away. I remember seeing Andy Reid talk about the best thing that ever happened to Patrick Mahomes was Alex Smith being there his rookie year and not being forced to start and being able to sit by somebody and learn and watch and get and, you know, slowly develop that NFL career and NFL mindset. As much as I want to see Kenny Pickett play, I don't want to see him start this year. So.
Makes sense to me too. And I would say arguably this is probably going to be maybe the best offensive line he's had blocking for him.
Yep.
Probably the best weapons. I don't know if he's had Pro Bowl running backs and wide receivers before. And I honestly won't be surprised if Freiermuth starts tacking up some Pro Bowl appearances himself. So you could have Pro Bowlers at all positions right around him on the offense.
Yeah.
And some real potential in these rookie wide receivers as well. It's going to be exciting to see what Mitchell can do. I think it's going to be a very wide open offense. We're going to see a lot of motion and a lot of quarterbacks on the run and throwing on the run. And it's going to be pretty neat to see what these guys can do. But it's going to really match up with his abilities well, in my opinion. Little bit contrast when we talk about the next guy, Mr. Mason Rudolph. He's been with Pittsburgh for, 5 years now? This would be his sixth season with the Steelers.
Yep.
Drafted in the third round, but, of course, infamously, the Steelers said they had a first-round grade on him, and that has followed him his whole career. He's a 16-touchdown to 11-interception guy in his career. Which kind of shows you he's a 3-2 touchdown guy, as to where Mitchell was 64-38. So he's kind of a 2-1. So a few less mistakes percentage wise from Mitchell than you're seeing from Mason. Also, completion percentage on the career, Mitchell was at 64%, Mason at 61%. So probably a little bit more accurate of a thrower of the ball with Mitchell also. Mason's had some good games. He's had some games like last year against the Browns where he threw for 300 yards and looked good. And he had a 26 or 27 yard scramble last year that led the team for the longest run for quite some time.
Yep.
But what we haven't seen is consistency in the ability to really take over a game. There really hasn't been much in him just kind of taking over and everybody saying, wow, look at what he's doing.
Yep.
Now, we've had some decent games from him, but when your best games are decent games, probably the backup role is your best role.
Yep, probably. I don't have much more to say about him, unfortunately. It was very unfortunate with the whole head injury he suffered in the 1 year he had where he was going to be starting for Ben all season. We got to see, you know, Devlin Hodges come in and shine for 2.5-3 games. I think Mason has had opportunity. I wouldn't say ample opportunity. I wouldn't say he's had all the opportunity he could ever have. Again, like you said, this is still going to be the best O-line Mason's probably played behind, probably pretty close to it at least. And so I'm just not 100% sold on him as a leader or as, a football player, but I'm excited to see what happens, I guess. I would love to be proven wrong about Mason and him come out and ball out and lead us to a, you know, AFC North division title or, you know, playoff berth, playoff victory, whatever. But I'm not holding my breath. That's what I'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah. So I think if Mason ends up the starting quarterback out of this group, something's gone pretty horribly wrong with both Mitchell and Kenny. So I'm not cheering for that scenario just because I feel like there's probably a higher ceiling with both of those two.
Yeah.
And in mentioning him, let's go straight to the exciting first round pick, Kenny Pickett.
Yes, he can.
All the potential in the world with this guy, 6'3", 220 pounds. We've seen the scrambles. We've seen the athleticism from him. So he's given us probably more athleticism than you would get from Mason Rudolph. I don't know if it's as much as Mitchell Trubisky, but it's not too far behind him if it is less. And a good arm, very accurate guy, threw over 40 touchdowns last year for the Pitt Panthers. Got his wide receiver paid. Yeah, this guy's a college wide receiver and just got $3 million to go play for the Texas A&M, which is a new thing for college football, but yeah. Tremendous as far as what he showed. And like you said, with the progression of Mitchell Trubisky's career, kind of a similar arc with Kenny. Got better every year, got more accurate every year, and then just absolutely torched everybody last year. Yeah. Had a tremendous season.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about the potential. I'm with you. I would rather see him kind of sit on the bench for the first, you know, 6-8 weeks, something like that. Maybe even wait until after the bye week and start him week 10. But we'll see where the Steelers decide to do, how they decide to go with it. But I'm extremely excited about the potential for Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't agree more. Like I said, I'm excited for Kenny. I'm excited to see what he can do, but I don't want him to have the pressure of starting the NFL. Again, you mentioned this during the pre-draft stuff. Kenny Pickett was probably the most NFL ready. That doesn't mean we want him to immediately start or immediately play. There's still an aspect. And NFL ready does not mean NFL accomplishing or successful. NFL ready means can go through progressions, handle the pressure he gets, this
read
stuff.
Read a defense.
Yeah, read a defense. It doesn't mean he's going to have success. It just means that he can go through the correct things and learn from mistakes that will still happen.
And I'd rather see Mitchell or Mason out there while the offensive line's getting their chemistry together too.
Absolutely.
I don't want free blitzers coming through and crushing my rookie quarterback. You know, I'd rather the other guys take the beating, and then once they gel, then bring them in, you know. And plus, let's get these wide receivers all on the same page, and everybody else too. There's a lot of new pieces, and it's important that these guys gel before you throw a quarterback in there and then have things all going haywire all around them.
Absolutely. Next guy. Last guy.
Last guy. Last guy. Seventh round pick. Chris Oladokun. Chris is an athletic young guy, 6 foot, 295 pounds. Pittsburgh really liked him. They brought him in for a pre-draft visit. So this is somebody that they had their eyes on long before the actual draft night happened. And someone that they didn't want to take a chance of not being able to get as an undrafted free agent, which is why they took him in that seventh round.
Yep.
A lot of people weren't so sure that that was a good idea to do that with a second quarterback. But to me, when you look at Mason being on the last year of his deal, Mitchell has 2 years left on his deal. But let's be honest, if Kenny gets the starting job halfway through the year, do you bring back Mitchell next year? Does he want to come back next year? Probably not. So it's important that you had somebody that knows the offense behind him.
Yep.
And he'll get to learn that this year. I'm excited to see what he can do with those third and fourth team players. He might be really forced to show his athleticism in preseason games when he does get into the preseason games.
Yeah, those.
But being only three games, I don't know how much playing time this kid's going to get.
Yeah, it'll definitely be rough for him. Unfortunately, I think we will see in the preseason. I just don't know to what extent. I want to run through his college numbers real fast with you year by year, year by year.
Yeah, talk about him, please.
So in 2017, he went 1 for 1 for 12 yards. Phenomenal year. Great.
Perfect.
100%. In 2018, same school, University of South Florida. If I believe that's USF, correct? University of South Florida.
That sounds right.
Cool. 22 of 44. So 50% completion rate. It's a little bad. For 285 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Not horrible. Then he transfers to Samford in 2019. At Samford, he went 169 of 272 passing for 2,058 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. He rushed 127 times for 491 yards and 8 touchdowns. Took off. Just had a great year. Not a phenomenal year.
But that's really good.
That's a solid year for a junior.
It was like a 3-to-1 touchdown ratio, right? That's pretty good.
In 2021, in the spring, he started with Samford again. Went 37 of 56 passing for 221 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Little rough start, 22 rushes for 26 yards and 2 touchdowns. Rough start, transferred at middle of the year to South Dakota State University. Passed 238 out of 384 passing completions to attempts. 3,164 yards, 25 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, ran the ball 73 times for only 166 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he caught the ball 2 times for 32 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Sounds like some Philly special action.
Sounds like something for sure. What I want to point out is he had a phenomenal year at Samford in his junior year, and then something happened in Samford, whether it was a coaching issue or player personnel issue, whatever, transferred, and put up some numbers. He performed. Yeah, he did. I think I would be concerned if I didn't see that junior year number as well, with the 2,058 passing yards, 18 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. I think this man is vastly underrated. Again, sure, probably not going up against top-tier defenses. Probably not. There's a very small chance of that. But he doesn't have top-tier wide receivers and tight ends to throw to either. The best player he probably had on the team at the time was Pierre Strong, who also got drafted, who we wanted to get drafted as well. And again, I think that very similar to what you're saying, Pittsburgh saw a possibility of this guy turning into a solid backup just for what he did in the 2 years, in his last 2 years of college football. That's 5,200 passing yards. You're looking at over 40 touchdowns to 14 interceptions. Great. In the last 2 years. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So again, there's a weird balance of these guys that come from these small schools like that, because they don't go up against top tier defenses, but they don't have top tier offenses to play with. But he performed very well in two different systems, both at Samford and at South Dakota State University, which tells me the player's flexible. He was able to learn the playbook very quickly in that transition period. There's got to be some football IQ there. There's got to be smart. There's obviously athleticism if he's catching the ball for touchdowns, rushing for touchdowns, and getting some good yards. I'm excited to see what he does, and I hope we get to see. I hope Pittsburgh just says, they won't say this, but I hope Pittsburgh says, screw Mason getting playing time in the preseason. We know what he can do. Let's see these other three guys. Again, it's not going to happen, but.
And I wonder, too, if they can put Mason in a position to succeed and look good, maybe by that week 3 preseason game, somebody's quarterback goes down and they need somebody, and maybe we can get a 4th-round pick for him or something like that, you know? I don't have any fallacies of thinking we're going to get a 2nd-round pick or a 1st-round pick, but maybe you can squeak out a 3rd or 4th or 5th rounder. And if you can do that, and then you just roll with the other three, and that's fantastic.
Give us a 4th this year and a 5th next year. I'll take it.
In a heartbeat.
Or vice versa. I would take a 5th this year and a 4th next year.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep. For so a guy that you're not planning on starting this year or having passed this year, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We're just, again, going over the first little bit of player personnel roster breakdown. Next week, again, like we said, will be the skill positions minus tight ends. Tight ends will be the following week wrapped in with the offensive linemen. And then we're going to do defensive linemen as a whole, ends and the interior defensive linemen. And then we'll go over outside linebackers and middle linebackers the following week, and finishing it off with the secondary and special teams. Just in case you guys want to mark those on your calendar, write it down in the order that we're doing it. That way you know, hey, I really want to listen to this episode, or hey, you know, need to share this with somebody, see their input, whatever. We can't thank you guys enough. James, I don't know if you have anything else to say before I do the little outro for us. So
no, just really appreciate all the support. It's been fun seeing last month we had downloads that touched all the way across the United States. So it was pretty cool. West Coast to East Coast, the states touched the whole way across. And very neat to see so many of you that we've never met before downloading and listening on a regular basis. So appreciate you very much, and we're going to keep this content rolling all off season. So don't you worry, we're going to have plenty to talk about. We had some Ravens fans actually comment on our YouTube channel. So if some of you wanted to join in there and kind of throw back at them, feel free to. You know, we can't have Ravens fans showing us up on our own YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I'll definitely be sharing that YouTube to the Facebook page when it's up, either later tonight or tomorrow. So keep an eye on that. No matter how you guys listen or intake the podcast, we appreciate it, whether it's on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Podbean, iHeartRadio. The number of places you can listen to it audio-wise is basically anywhere where you can listen to podcasts. Again, also the YouTube is available. It's just Steelers by the Lake. You look it up, you'll find it. Sitting at 20 subscribers right now, which is awesome. We thank you guys so much for that, for those 20 of you that are subscribing. Again, can't thank you guys enough for listening and being part of the family. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Oh, peace.